Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you for your word, Lord, that just calms our hearts. Lord, thank you that you're watching over each one of us. We thank you that the word is anointed and that the spirit of wisdom and revelation is released into every heart and mind who will hear this today and who will listen to it later. Thank you, God, that you are our provision today and every day and forever. And the church said, amen, amen. You know, this really, what I'm going to share next doesn't have a whole lot to do with what I'm teaching on, I don't think, but I was talking about covenant this morning, and covenant is such a serious subject, and sometimes you have to have something to go with it that this just is a little bit of humor. And so I remembered this story when I was talking about it, and I just wanted to share this. There was a man and a woman, and they were both 60 years old, and they had spent the day celebrating 60 years of marriage, 60 years of, or 40 years of marriage covenant. 60 years old, 40 years of marriage. Anybody been married 40 years? Awesome. Awesome. Yes. So we know that is a huge celebration. And they got home and were examining all the gifts that they had gotten. And all of a sudden, this angel appeared and said, because you two have been such a loving couple all these years, the Lord is going to give each one of you one wish. Now, does these things really happen? No, but just go along with the story. So the wife jumped up and she said, I want to travel around the world. And so the wife, all of a sudden, in her hand is tickets to London and Paris and Rome and Tokyo. And next it was her husband's turn. And he scratched his head and then he said, I'd like to have a wife 30 years younger than me. And all of a sudden, he was 90 years old. Oh, the wife was probably hoping that she would be 30 years younger, you know? And anyway, just a little humor to go along with. The subject of covenant is just so important. We are in covenant with God. And we're hearing so much this morning about the foundation of his love and about how he takes care of us, how he provides for us. And so this morning, the Lord had put it in my heart to continue with the teaching in Micah. We started it last week. We talked about Micah chapter 5 and how Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Ephratah. And if you weren't here for that teaching, it's on the Facebook page now and it's on our YouTube channel. I encourage you to listen to that. It's just some amazing information from the rabbinical priests about what that really meant. Because all of the sacrificial temple lambs were raised at Bethlehem Ephratah. And so it was only fitting that God's sacrificial lamb would be born in that same town. And so we're going to go on today and talk about just the providence of God, how he foresees and takes care of us and guides us. And he's omnisciently directing the universe and the affairs of humankind with his wise benevolence. And providence is the manifestation of divine care or direction. So in the book of Micah, chapter 5, we read verses 2 through 5. Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. So God is providing a shepherd. Micah says that Jesus came to be a shepherd to his flock. And everyone at that time knew what a shepherd was. It was a very common occupation. A shepherd's job was not easy. A shepherd was always on the job. You know, they didn't get much rest. And but when you look at that occupation, you see that he came to take care of us. He came to lead us. He came to protect us. And he came to save us. This is what a shepherd does. So point number one, God provides strength. Verse 4 says, he will stand and shepherd in the strength of the Lord. Therefore, we do not have to live life in our own strength. You don't have to handle life on your own. Isn't that good news? You know, when you're a child growing up and your parents handle everything, you really don't think that much of it until you become a parent, you become an adult, and you get to pay the bills. And you have all the responsibilities. And then all of a sudden, you really appreciate that you could just be a kid. And your mom and dad were taking care of things. Well, you know what? We are the Lord's children. Is that right? We're God's kids. And so we don't have to handle life in our own strength. And we don't have to handle life on our own because we have help. We can turn to God for strength and he'll give it to us. But you know, it's only in the hard times, it's in the trials, it's in the tests that we turn to God for strength and we find out that it's there. Sometimes it gets pretty intense, doesn't it? Have you ever had those intense times? You know, Brother Gabe was talking about money this morning, and you know, you don't worry that much about it until you don't have it. You know, growing up in a poor household, we had 6 children. My dad died when I was in the 5th grade, and so my mom was a single parent raising 5 children. And so there were times that things got pretty intense. That we didn't know where money was coming from. We didn't know how bills were going to get paid. You know, but I didn't really know that as a child because my mom was an amazing woman. She was so strong in her faith and she trusted God. And you know what? God would always show up. But I'm sure there were times that the pressure was so great. Anybody ever felt that pressure? I don't think there's anything as bad as financial pressure when you know the bills are coming due and you don't know how you're going to make that payment, especially when people are counting on you. Hallelujah. But God knows. And that's how she grew to be such a strong woman of faith, because she walked through so many difficult times because they had so many children. You know, I remember when my dad died, she stood at the casket and she just beat on his chest and said, "Why did you leave me?" She was so upset that my dad would leave her. But my dad really had no choice. He had Lou Gehrig's disease. And at 45, all of his organs just quit working. He had no choice. He was gone. And mom was alone with all of his kids. And so it was just a really intense time. But I was only in the 5th grade, so I really didn't grasp all of that. But now that I'm older and I think back, it's like, wow. Wow, God. You were so faithful. So faithful to our family. To meet the needs. You know, he said, "I'll be a father to the fatherless. I'll be a father to the fatherless." You know, the Lord, he always takes care of us. We don't know how it's going to work out, but somehow it does. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Have you been through that? Just wave at me and let me know. Yes, God. Yes, God. We trust you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. It's easy to say I trust God when everything's going good. You know? But when you get in the midst of the fire, it's like, can you still say that? Can you still say that? It's a process of learning to rest and to lean upon the goodness of God. And I read this story about a man named Bob Weiland. And he was a soldier in Vietnam. And in 1969, he was rescuing one of his fellow soldiers. And both of his legs were blown off. And you know, he had dreamed of being a professional baseball player after the war, but that dream was gone forever. And many men in that same situation ended up very bitter, but Bob wasn't bitter. And he said this, he said, "I lost my legs, not my heart." And he continued his quest in athletics. In athletic achievement, and he ended up being a person that walked across the United States on his arms. Over 3,000-mile walk across the United States. Took him 3 years, 8 months, and 6 days. He walked on his hands across the United States. He also walked to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall. He left on July 4th, 2011, and arrived on November 21st, 2012. 2011 to honor his fellow soldiers and comrades. So he continued, and he even pedaled, arm pedaled a bicycle journey from Los Angeles to California. And he said this, he said he was able to do all things because he had learned to cast all his cares on the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. Wow, because he cares for you. And he learned that through this difficult experience, that the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Think about that. The weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. In 1 Corinthians 1:25. And in his words, he said, I do the best I can to apply the word of God to my life because I know it works. So are we doing the best that we can to apply the word of God to our life? Has God been real to you? Has he shown up? And he has shown out that his word is true. It really does work. But you got to work it. Tell your neighbor, you got to work it. So no matter what happens, we can depend on him to get us through. And our lives don't have to be characterized by failure or bitterness or missed opportunities. Jesus Christ, our shepherd, provides the strength that we need to face whatever comes our way, just like it did for this man, Bob. He probably didn't even know he had it in him. And sometimes I think about that. I didn't even know I had that courage in me. I didn't know I had that strength in me. Until I have to put a demand on God to come through. Do you know what I'm talking about? Am I talking to people that have experienced this? You know, if you haven't experienced it, I just want to say you probably will. Because nobody gets through life without not going through hard times and difficult times. You know, we can look at other people and think, oh, they have the perfect life. Look at them. Oh, they've got it all together. Everything's going for them. They've got money for everything, yada, yada, yada. But that's not true. That's not true. You know, nobody gets to where they are if they haven't gone through some tough times. Can somebody say amen? It just doesn't come easy. We'd like for it to, wouldn't we? What the Lord has for us comes easy. Life is difficult sometimes. You ever felt like you got knocked down and you have to get yourself back up and get going again? Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. I always encourage my children, talk to yourself, encourage yourself. You know, talk to yourself, say it. You know, I can do all things through Christ. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this because God has given me the ability to do it. I'm not going to stay down where I'm at. You know, when the devil knocks you down, you got to get back up. You know, the scripture says a righteous man falls 7 times and he gets back up. It's not a shame to fall. The shame is when you don't get back up and keep going, church. Hallelujah. So when we're facing challenges bigger than us, when we have a battle that we know we can't win in our own strength, we know we do not have to face that alone because the Lord has promised to be our strength. In fact, trying to live your life in your own strength without God's help is a recipe for disaster. It says in Isaiah 50 verse 11, but see here, you who live in your own lights and warm yourselves from your own fires and not from God's, you will live among sorrows. So we actually make it harder on ourselves when we try to do it ourselves because we just don't have the strength. Trying to live life in our own strength according to our own life, it's pointless. It leads to sorrow. And Jesus came in the world to give us his strength for daily living. Tell your neighbor, it's for every day. He's got more strength. Often I think, Lord, I feel like I'm at the end, but God, I know that your strength never runs out. Think about it. God never gets discouraged. His strength never runs out. Number two is God provides security. And let's face it, we live in an insecure world. Neither certainty nor safety really exists, even though we spend our lives trying to find both of those things. And we look for it in government. We'll look for it in a job and an employer or other investments or relationships, and none of them can provide us with the security that we need. The things we turn to most often simply don't have the ability to offer true security. Gabe was talking about it this morning. You can't put your security in investments or in your money or in your bank account. That is not where our security comes from. My mom had none of those. She had none of those. But if you ever met my mom, you would know she was one of the most secure people you ever met. Because she was secure in God's love and God's care and in what God owns, not what she owns. She never held on tight to anything. She always taught us not to hold on tight to anything that we had, just to be ready to let it go because the Lord can take it away at any time. You know, anything and everything we have, church, is for us to use. We're stewards of what we have. We want to be good stewards, amen? Good stewards of what God has given us. You know, I look at this building and I'm always amazed at all that God has worked through this smaller congregation over 20 years to bring this building up to code and up to date. God has been so faithful and so good to us. Hallelujah. And we have thanked him and rejoiced, and you've probably seen the signs out front. Yes, we are selling the building. And when we move, we're going to move, and we're going to have our own place, but it's going to be a place that fits us. Hallelujah. We really don't need all these chairs. We really don't need all this space. All we need is for the family of God to be together. Amen. Because wherever we are, we're the one that creates the atmosphere for the presence and the power of God to come. God honors our worship. I was praying this morning, Lord, as we come into the house of the Lord, we want to honor you. We want to lift you up. We want to just forget all of our cares. Lord, be high and lifted up in our praise. Because he said, if I'm high and lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Our heart is that every person that comes here experiences the Lord Jesus Christ. That he is high and lifted up. We're here to make Jesus famous. We're just a simple group of people. Nobody here is trying to make themselves famous or trying to be at the top of the chart. But God is at the top. God gets the highest praise. God gets the highest honor. God gets all the glory. We give him all the glory and honor and praise because when we look around at over the last 30 years of what God has done in Praisers Ministries, there's no way we could have done any of it ourselves. But God has blessed us above and beyond because he is the one that's high and lifted up. And he is the one that is famous in this place. And we want to be known to be lovers of Jesus, to be lovers of Jesus, that we are ready to share the gospel with people when they come through the doors. We're ready to pray for the sick. We're ready to do whatever God asks us to do. And that's just who we are. And that's the group of people that God has put together. We have an amazing group of people that works together. Things fluctuate. Things change. There were lots of changes this Sunday morning because there's lots of stuff going on in people's lives. But you know what? The leaders, they shift, they change, they adjust, and we keep rolling because it's all for the glory of God. It's to be here together, together to praise God and receive all that he has for us. So, you know, like Bob, that Bob Weidland, he learned in Vietnam that his world could come crashing down in just one moment. You know, it's just one simple word that can change your life. It can be a word like divorce or cancer, or we're downsizing the company. We hear that word and suddenly the world doesn't seem to be a safe place anymore. But the fact is we don't know what will happen tomorrow. We don't even know what's going to happen later today. Tell somebody, I don't know. We don't know. God knows, right? He holds our future. So we can't depend on the world to offer that security because it just doesn't have it to give. There's only one place we find security, and that's Micah said it in verse 4. And they, his flock, will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. So Jesus offers the security, knowing that he's in control. He has the power and ability to take care of us. That's what a shepherd does. And that is what he wants to do for each one of you. And listen to these words from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 15 and 16. He said, I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. He's saying, I will take care of you. You're safe with me. I'll tend to you. If you're lost, I'll find you. If you stray, I'm going to bring you back. If you're injured, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm your shepherd. I will take care of you. God made this promise. In Hebrews 13:5, he said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Wow. No human can make that promise. No human being can make that promise. He also said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. That is an amazing promise. I remember when Elder Jim was going through his sickness, and he was struggling. And you know what? That is the word that we held on to, because someone had said, oh, it's the devil, it's demons, da-da-da-da-da, you know, on and on. Well, it wasn't. It wasn't. And demons can't have you. The devil can't have you. Because the scripture says no one can snatch you out of your Father's hand. So living with a fear like that is ridiculous. Tell someone it's ridiculous. We belong to God. And he is watching over us. And when you're in the Father's hand, I'm telling you, nothing can get close to you. Come on, nothing can get close to you. Our God's hands, can you imagine how big they are? You know, we have hands at that end of the auditorium so that when the children would walk out of the children's area, they would see the hands of God and the river of life, that living water flowing as God's hands are reaching out to each one of us. There is a river that is flowing from the hands of God to each one of us. We need to be able to see with our spiritual eyes all that God has for us. What I'm talking about today, it's not natural things. You know, we have to see by the eye of the Spirit of the living God. And if you haven't seen that, ask God to open your eyes so that you see what he has for you from his hands. It's flowing from the heavenlies. I see it this morning. It is just flowing from the heavenlies for us to open up our heart and to receive it. Will you believe it? Will you receive it? It's all about belief. If you're doubting it this morning, then you're not going to get it. But if you believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Have you ever prayed that? Hallelujah, Lord. I believe your word. I believe it's true. Lord, help my unbelief. I need help here. And you know what? When we admit that, God's going to help us. You know, we don't have to have it all together, church. Tell someone you don't have to have it all together. You just need to have God. You need to have God. You know, one of the most amazing things about maturing in the Lord is you can admit when you were wrong. You know you're mature when you can admit your mistake. You know, immature people try to cover up their mistakes all the time. They try to blame everybody else. They try to shame everybody else. But you know what? You just got to let people be people, and you take care of what is yours. Because God has called us not only to spiritually mature, but emotionally mature. As the body of Christ, that is one thing we're supposed to really work together on, to be able to be emotionally mature. Somebody say amen. Did you ever get in trouble when you were at home for throwing a temper tantrum or behaving in a way that you shouldn't behave because you were acting so immature? Did you ever tell someone, you are so immature? That used to be a big thing, you know. You're so immature. God wants us to grow up. He wants the body of Christ to be mature and to grow up. He's coming for a mature bride. Yeah, and you know what? That just doesn't happen. Maturity, I'm telling you, we're going to study it this next year, is not a spiritual gift. Maturity is something that we each work on and work at with the help of God and one another in relationship. It's how you mature. That's why there are some relationships you just want to get away from, get out of because of all of the stuff that goes on in it. But that very relationship may be the thing that God is going to use to mature you because he will make you uncomfortable. Hallelujah. You know, if you have this idea that God just wants you comfortable all the time and happy all the time, has anybody experienced that? We are happy in him. We're comfortable in him. But in our own skin and in this life, does anybody have struggles? Hallelujah. Let's just be real this morning. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And they listen to me and they follow me. You know, that's the key right there. Are we listening? Are we following? Because God's talking. Tell your neighbor, God's talking to you. He's talking to you. He'll show you the way to go. He'll make it clear. Sometimes we want it a different way. Has anybody ran into that? I think it should be like this. And God's going, no, it's going to be like this. And we're saying, no, we want it like this. And guess who wins? We might as well surrender to God's will because he has the last say. So Jesus is the only one that offers security. And it's not based on things. It's not based on circumstances. The foundation of his security is based on his never-ending love for us. And Micah says, there is no place you can go or nothing that can happen that extends beyond the power of God to take care of you. Nothing is basically what he's saying. When he says that God's greatness goes to the ends of the earth, he's saying there's no place you can go and nothing can happen that extends beyond the power of God to take care of you. Somebody say, I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. God is taking care of us. You know, the scripture compares us a lot. We're sheep, right? And sheep find no safety in themselves. They can't protect themselves from the enemy. They can't take care of themselves on their own because they need a shepherd. And we need protection from the world. We need protection from the enemy. We need protection in the middle of disaster, and only Jesus can give it to us. And that's why he came, to give us security. And the last point, God provides peace. We do not live in a peaceful world. But we are supposed to be peacemakers. Somebody say amen. We're to be peacemakers. We're not supposed to be troublemakers. We're not supposed to be stirring everything up. We're to be peacemakers. Most people don't have that inner peace. And all we have to do is read the headlines and we're reminded that external peace is really rare. So there's always fighting going on between nations. And that's as common as death and taxes in our society. But Jesus came to bring peace to all those who follow him. His birth foretold what Micah's words said in chapter 5, and he will be their peace. When he was born in the earth, the angels announced, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. And Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Okay, so what disrupts our peace is when our hearts are troubled and when we have fear in our life. So do not let. I always say that three-letter word, let, L-E-T, is what gets us in trouble because we let trouble get into our hearts, into our minds, and we become fearful. Because when you live in a place where you're thinking about the trouble and you're thinking about fear, then your mind starts going, I don't know if your mind's like this, but sometimes it'll just say, well, what if this happens? Well, this could happen. Oh, what if that happens? Oh my. And you can catastrophize everything that's going on in your life if you let your mind go there. But we can't let it. We're not supposed to let our hearts be troubled. And we're not to be afraid. So Jesus came to give us peace. Even when we can't experience peace in this world, we can experience peace in our inner world. Okay, we're in charge of this inner world. We take charge of that. Jesus came in the world to take away the things that destroy our peace. He wants to carry our burdens. He wants to lift our anxieties. He said, cast all your cares, all your anxieties on me. Are you going to get rid of every anxiety in this lifetime? No, you're not. Because having anxieties is part of life process. It's kind of a balancing out of some things in our life. You have to have a certain amount of anxiety and pressure to keep motivated and keep moving, okay? If we were just in la-la land, you know, Bishop talks about us being heavenly hobos floating around on clouds with our harps and just la 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 la. Well, that's not how life really works. And so understanding that there's always going to be some anxieties in our life. It's just anxiety is not supposed to rule us. There will always be some fears in our life because fear is a part of life. It's a part of life. It's just not supposed to rule us. We have to recognize, okay, this fear is false evidence appearing real. Okay, this one over here. This one here is something that possibly could happen. But I'm not going to worry about it. I'm casting that one on the Lord. I'm going to give that to the Lord. And sometimes you have to do that over and over again. Otherwise, your mind will get stuck in this rut. Have you ever been in a rut? Yes. Yes. Okay, I'm talking to the right crowd this morning. We've got to let it go. Learn how to let it go. Learn how to give it to Jesus. Because those things make our life miserable. And he doesn't want our life to be miserable. He wants us to learn how to rest in him. Resting in God. In the midst of all of the struggles of life, we can find a place of rest. We can find a place of inner peace. The storm can be going on around us, but in our hearts, we can find our peace. Once again, I'm going to talk a little bit about sheep, because it's really humbling to admit that we can't take care of ourselves. But that's exactly what we must do, because the Bible compares us to sheep. And it's not a flattering comparison, because sheep are not very industrious. We're really in a work-oriented culture. But sheep don't work for you. They don't protect the family. No one ever had a guard sheep. Have you ever heard of a guard sheep? Now, I've heard of a sheep dog, and they're excellent guard dogs. But a guard sheep? No. And they're not really very bright. Have you ever saw sheep in a circus act? Can't teach them to do tricks. The one thing sheep can do by nature is follow the shepherd. They're good at following. They're good at trusting. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to follow him, and he wants us to trust him. And he sent Jesus into the world to be a shepherd. To all of us who would follow him, he said he'd take care of us. So you can cast all your cares and concerns, all your worries and anxieties, all your sin and unbelief on him, and he will take them. That's what Jesus came to do. And remember the words of Ezekiel, I'll search for the lost, I'll bring back the strays, I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. Jesus came into the world to be our shepherd. He wants to help you live each day in his strength. He wants to give you the kind of security this world simply cannot offer you. And he wants to fill you with his peace. And as we're coming to the end of this year, how important it is to know our place in Jesus Christ. We do not know what 2025 holds for any of us. Like I said, we don't even know what later today holds for any of us. But we know the God who holds our future. And I looked up one more story about Bob Weiland because I was so impressed by this man and his tenacity and his strength to be able to walk on his hands and to do a bike with his hands. And he ended up doing triathlons. But anyway, there was a writer, his name's Frosty Woolridge, and he is a world-renowned cyclist in the United States. And he actually met this Bob south of Socorro in New Mexico, out in the middle of the desert. And the story says he was walking on his hands across America. When I stopped across the road from him, I threw my bike into the gravel. I walked over to shake hands. "Hey, man, Frosty Woolridge." He replied, "Bob Weiland." I said, "If you don't mind my asking, what are you doing out here in 105 degrees heat?" He replied, "I am walking across America." "What are you doing?" I said. I'm bicycling across America," I answered. And Bob said, "I'd like to do that, but my legs are too short." And the writer says, I grimaced at his humor because the man had no legs. He had his legs blown off in Vietnam. And at that moment, he had walked 936 miles in 19 months. 2 years later, I heard on an NPR newscast that it took him 3 years, 8 months, and 6 days to complete his coast-to-coast journey. I cried my eyes out upon hearing this triumph. I was humbled beyond measure to be a tiny moment in his journey. From that single event in my life, I have never complained once since 1984. I take each day as a gift. I love each second on my touring bike, road bike, and mountain bike. I promise myself to live a life worth remembering. After Bob Weiland finished his walk across America on his hands coast to coast, he hand-cycled west to east and east to west across America. Not finished, he became the first double amputee to complete the Hawaiian Ironman triathlon. He ran the New York, Boston, and Chicago marathons, each race taking him 5 days to finish. At age 67, he again hand-cycled coast to coast across America. And he said he could do all of these things because he had learned to cast all of his care on the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, he said, "I do the best I can to apply the Word of God to my life because I know it works. And I know the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." And so when we think about the year that we just completed, we thank God for all that He did for us. And I encourage you to take some time before the new year just to thank God for those particular things that He did for you. Remember those things. It's important to thank God. You know, God likes to be thanked. Did you know that? And that's one of the most important parts of being a Christian, is to have a grateful heart. A grateful heart. Not sitting around complaining about everything that didn't go right. We all had tons of things that didn't go right this year. Somebody say amen. We all had disappointments. We lost people we loved. We gained people that we're like, "Wow, I'm so glad you're in my life now." So thankful for people in my life that have come into my life over this last year. So thankful. We are so grateful for all God's done for us. And if we have each other and we have God, church, we can make it through anything. We can make it through anything. And how important it is that we come together and worship. Because we worship the Lord God Almighty, who came to seek and save those who were lost, so that we could experience His life and life more abundantly. And you know what? That's what, why Jesus came at Christmas time. That's what it was all about. And now He's saying, "Now come and follow me. You'll find your strength in me. You'll find your security in me. You'll find your peace in me. Because we're not looking for it in anything else this year. You know, 2025, we're getting a new perspective. We're getting ready to go into our Daniel fast. Okay, church? 21 days of Daniel fast. And it starts, I believe, on January 6th or 7th. Cheryl will be announcing that. But it's during that time, we're going to quiet ourselves before the Lord. We're going to get before the Lord. And we're going to let God give us our New Year's resolutions. Okay, we can think of lots of things that we want to do. But is it a God idea or is it our own idea? You know, so we're going to take a month where we just humble ourselves before the Lord. We're going to have a Daniel fast. A Daniel fast means we're giving up meat. Somebody say, oh. We're not eating any delicacies. We don't get to have cheesecake and ice cream and all those great things. We're eating vegetables. Hallelujah. I was thinking this morning it'd be kind of fun to have a Daniel fast luncheon for the ladies. Yeah, and do our recipes, you know, that we all like. You think that's a good idea, ladies? Yeah, I love it too. So, well, we'll talk with the Deborah Troop team about that because that would be something we could do. And probably I would be glad to host it at my house. We have a huge table and another table we can hook to that. I think we can seat all our ladies, but yeah, and do something to celebrate the Daniel fast and talk about our journey. Yeah, and you guys can think of something to do. Oh, we'll help you out, whatever you decide. Brother Dave will help you too. Brother David will be here in 2 weeks, and so we can talk to him about that. But anyway, as the worship team is standing up there getting ready to sing our closing song, I'm going to ask for y'all to stand. And I just want to close by reading Psalm 23, one of my most favorite psalms. It's a psalm that I use a lot in counseling and just teaching people how to meditate on that psalm and how to walk through that with the Lord, because it will bring you such peace. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we thank you for this powerful psalm. We thank you, Lord, that your goodness, your mercy, your love is following us, O God. Thank you, Lord, that we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. Lord, as we rest our souls in you in those quiet places, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you lead us and guide us for your name's sake. And thank you, Father, for your goodness and mercy and love. And thank you, God, that we can dwell in your presence all day long, every day, that you never leave us, Lord. You never go from us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen.